with the U.S. transfer of power to Iraq yesterday morning. Former Ba'ath Party member and Iraqi exile Iyad Alawi became the leader of Iraq's interim government, the prime minister. There are many questions as to his background or what kind of leader he will be it temporary. Joel Brinkley joins us now, Washington correspondent for The New York Times. He spent 2.5 months in Iraq last winter, and he's with us now from his office here in Washington. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I understand you've met the man several times. What was he like?
He's an imposing figure, a likable man. He's about 6 feet tall, has a sonorous, almost radio voice, and an easy air of command. And he has the impression of being a man who has nothing to hide and tells you what he thinks.
Hmm. He's a medical doctor.
He is.
He was exiled for 30 years until he returned last year to Iraq after the downfall of Saddam Hussein. His background, though, in exile is a little murky.
It's not so murky. It's convoluted. That might be a better way to describe it. He left in the early 70s while still a member of the Ba'ath Party and working for the Ba'ath Party. As best we know, he spied on Iraqi students studying in London, where he was studying medicine.
So he spied for Saddam Hussein, essentially.
I'm not sure Saddam Hussein was fully in power during all that time, but
he was running the intelligence service at the time.
Right, but he refused to return to Iraq when Saddam asked him to, and Saddam, it is believed, it was Saddam who sent an assassin to kill him. And he was a man broke into his house in the middle of the night one night and tried to hack him to death with an axe. It took more than a year to recover from that, and that is what set him into a different path, and that is an exile leader intent on toppling Saddam Hussein.
And his first of all, his partner was a man you described in your article as unsavory. Tell us a little bit about him.
That was a fellow named Omar Ali al-Tikriti, who was a former Ba'ath Party member, as Alawi was. But while Alawi had spied on students, Tikriti had been supervising public hangings in Baghdad. And when Alawi came to the attention of the United States shortly after the Gulf War, the first Gulf War in 1991, CIA officials told him that they could not support him, could not work with him, unless he severed his association with Tikriti. And being a smart man, he did that fairly quickly and took up work with the CIA in 1992.
And some of this work, apparently, at least according to your profile, involved bombings in Baghdad.
At the CIA's behest, with their help and funding, his goal in the early 90s, up until 95 or 96, was to send bombing teams into Baghdad, theoretically to blow up public buildings and destabilize the regime. Unfortunately, some people recall a school bus being blown up and perhaps some civilians being killed. And now some people who know about this find it ironic that a man who was head of the Security Committee for the former Governing Council and whose primary goal now is to stop the bombings in Baghdad and other attacks was, in fact, a bomber.
Yeah, send a thief to catch a thief, you quote from Ken Pollack, who was then a CIA analyst back in those days.
That's correct.
Yeah. Now, he is distinct from Ahmed Chalabi, another Iraqi exile, indeed, in some ways, a counterpoint to Mr. Chalabi.
Chalabi has long exhorted the United States to expunge any Ba'athists or anyone having any association with Saddam Hussein from any government that was formed in Iraq following the war, whereas Alawi's whole political purpose has been to bring Ba'athists, not the senior people, but mid-level Ba'athists, back into the government because they have expertise and would be able to run the government with most of the people still in place. Well, as we all know now, the government listened to Chalabi and did not really listen to Alawi.
Mm-hmm. How is he viewed now in Iraq, do you think?
As with most of the exile leaders, he's not particularly well-known, or at least was not until he was chosen for this job. And a recent survey indicated that he's not even particularly popular. But that is true for all the exile leaders. Most of the Iraqis I spoke to when I was there seemed to prefer the idea of leadership from people who were in Iraq and suffered under Saddam as they did. Hmm. But really, there has been nobody of real prominence who from within Iraq, who's arisen as a leader. anybody who might have been a leader then was killed.
Do we know, and we just have a very few seconds left, has he indicated that he might be more ambitious after this interim role for in running in elections in January?
He has not said anything to that effect, but when I interviewed him, he talked quite a bit about what was actually a campaign he was under. He was traveling all over the country, holding meetings with people and introducing himself to people, and you don't do that unless you have ambition.
Joel Brinkley, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Joel Brinkley is Washington correspondent for the New York Times, and he joined us by phone from his office here in Washington. He published a profile of Iyad Alawi for the New York Times. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.